Sports. Actually, welcome on back to Rabbit Hole Sports. Big weekend college football. I mean, bye week contentious for you, Preston. I don't know. Did you guys struggle at all in the first half of your bye week? Because that seems to be how your season goes.
Yeah, the big matchup for me this weekend was me versus beers. And unfortunately, the beer won there at the end of the day. So
it usually night does,
games.
Honestly.
Yeah. Night games got a little foggy for me, but I definitely watched the morning / afternoon games. So,
yeah, same here as well. So be sure to follow us on, you know, subscribe to this on YouTube if you're watching and listening there. But if you're just listening on Spotify, be sure to follow us on there and follow us on Twitter at the Bakers here, at Preston Pool 405 and at Jake Cart. Pretty even week for me, Preston. I don't know. I can't remember your other one or two picks, but I went 2-2 this year, this past week, which brings me to, I actually don't know. Let's see. It brings me to 22-15. So I'm 5-7 games still above 500. Preston, I don't know what you are.
I had that other game I had was the over in the Bama LSU game, and that one did not hit. So I am now two games below 500 at 15-17 on the season. So sliding back closer to Jake.
SMU fucked us, huh? I mean, they just didn't have that drive, and then they gave us a little bit of hope. And then just tore it out right at the end.
Yeah.
Wake Forest, I mean, biggest frauds of the year. We can all agree on that. I mean,
yeah, that was a terrible blown lead right there.
Yeah, it was. And then they to lose by 3, like I wouldn't have been as mad if they lost by 2, but I had them at +2.5. That's so fucked. But you know what the craziest part of that fucking game is? Wake Forest is still undefeated in the ACC. That was a non-conference game against UNC. Isn't that, Jake, did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
That was a non-conference. Yeah, so there's certain years that UNC and Wake Forest will schedule them. If they're not already scheduled against each other, because they only play an 8-game ACC schedule or a 10-game or whatever, they don't play everyone in the ACC. So sometimes they don't play each other. In those years that they don't play each other, they schedule each other. And so it's a non-conference game. And Wake Forest is still undefeated in the ACC. But they just lost to UNC. It's wild. Jake, I honestly thought that was a stat you would catch. And what do you think of that? Isn't that wild?
Yeah, that's insane. I don't know how that all works out. I mean,
like, I know I've heard of that before, like in Bedlam baseball, sometimes one of the games or two of the games will be technically non-conference, but I didn't know you could do that like in football or anything like that.
I mean,
other sports make sense, you know, because there's so many different, like basketball, you have like tournaments before the season. And then, you know, there's all these things going on that's different in different sports. So it makes sense, you know, because it's like the Big 12 and wrestling is like all over the place. You know, there's like Northern Iowa is in Big 12 or something, you know. So it's just one of those weird things. But yeah, I mean, you guys say that you're catching me, but I just continue to keep falling down the hill at an extremely fast pace. I mean, last week was just horrific for me. I did another 1-2 week of Virginia Tech, Boston College, missed that game. Baylor, TCU, I mean, Morris came out of nowhere and threw for 500 yards. Just an insane game. And then the craziest game of all.
Baylor losing hurts the Big 12, right?
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, yeah.
It's the same concept that Penn State losing hurt the Big 12. If they beat Michigan this weekend, it hurts Big 12. Or Big 10, I'm sorry, the Big 10.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of hurts the Big 12. But at the end of the day, like, I don't think there's going to be that much movement. I mean, there aren't that many games left. And having a one weird loss kind of on your schedule might not be the most devastating thing. I mean, it's really just Morris coming out of nowhere and throwing for 500 yards. But I took Tulsa +22.5. And that game was probably the craziest game of all week of not being able to kneel the ball. Did you guys see that where? Yeah. So Tulsa was down 8, a minute 30 on the clock or something like that. And then it was a 4th and goal. They had the first down on the 1-yard line and on 4th, it was like 4th and 5 to get to the 1-yard line. Dude passes the ball, gets it. He's like 6 inches short. Since he gets the ball with a minute left, Tulsa only has 2 timeouts. First down, they take it and they do like a QB dive. Dude fumbles it instantly. It scrambles out, goes to the Tulsa player. Like they went from instantly dead to instantly alive again. And then four plays in a row, Cincinnati stopped them again. And then they had a 240-pound running back try to dive over the top and fumble it into the end zone to lose the game.
We're going to find out a lot about Cincinnati here in a couple, you know, I shouldn't even have said anything because we're recording and then we're going to do this. We're recording for the show here on Tuesday night for a Wednesday release, but we're going to do the live. If you haven't watched, go back and watch the live reaction we did last night. And we put it out on our Twitter at the Vegas here. Be sure to go watch that because we're doing a live reaction to week two of college football playoff rankings. I think that it's going to be huge. We're going to learn a lot about what the playoff committee, we learned a lot about what they think this year, week one, right? But now we see, I think we're going to learn a lot going from week one, what really matters week to week, right? That first one's like the week one AP poll. It's almost like, why do it? I mean, obviously, yeah. In college football playoff, you got
a lot of teams played a lot of shitty football. So we'll see what their excuses for.
And you know what? Hand up to rankings. Preston, I know you know, I called it. Nebraska gave Ohio State a test, and I called it at the beginning of the season. I think both of you said, no, you ain't got to worry about that. No, I called it. Nebraska was going to be a tough one, but that's kind of like we should have seen that. Other than week one, they've actually played a pretty decently tough competitive season. Week one, they fucking dropped the ball, and who knows? Minnesota isn't doing much either. I don't know what's going on, but I called it. Nebraska gave us a run. Ohio State's got to get better. I think this weekend they have a chance to take Purdue to the house and just I know, but it's the same situation. I think, and Preston, you might fucking actually, you know, like me for a moment in terms of talking college football, because I think we're in a similar situation. I think OU has a chance to take a decent team. Baylor just lost, so they're probably not a good team. They're a decent team now, or decent. I put decent below good. I don't know. Anyway, you guys have a chance to be like, all right, we can put numbers on a good team, right? And I think you guys are going to have a big weekend because it's a weekend. You're coming off a bye. You should have everything worked out, and it's late in the season. You have to have a big game. I think this is it for you guys.
Word on the street is that Woody Washington, the starting cornerback who got hurt back previously in the season, sounds like he might be coming back this weekend. So they'll be back at full strength in their secondary, which has been banged up since really West Virginia. So they'll have basically all their starters back on in the secondary. Plus you added Key Lawrence in at cornerback against Tech. That looked very good. So I think now is the time. Either this defense is 100% shit, or they're going to start to make a turnaround and be not good, but not shit. So,
yeah. And I think your offense is going to have a big game. I think your offense could have a big game. I think this is, if there's going to be a time for it, it's right now, because you're getting into the last stretch of the season. You want to have a big game coming off that bye week. Ohio State's not coming off a bye week, but I do think they need to have a big game. So that's why I think we're in a similar spot where we have a chance before we play our top team. We're playing Michigan State and Michigan back to back. That's going to be tough, you know? And so Purdue's kind of like that, like, hey, let's have this big game, show out, and then go into these workhouse games or the last two games. And then same for you guys. I mean, Oklahoma State's a top four defense, right, Jake? I sent you that stat. And they're like a top four, top five defense right now, statistically. And so OU is going into the stretch of the season where you guys are playing some top tier teams, maybe not top tier offenses, but you're going to have to earn your wins. And so here's a spot to play big against Baylor. They're coming off a loss. You guys can really just put it to the works, you know, and just show out. I think that's why we're in a similar situation. But speaking of whatever you said about Woody, speaking of that, what about Laker Riley to LSU? Is that confirmed or what?
Hey, I missed the press conference today.
Dude, if he goes to LSU, that might be the greatest thing of my life.
Here's the thing. A head football coach at a school that still has a chance for a national championship isn't bolting at this point in the season. That's more of like an off season type thing, especially to go to a dumpster fire that is LSU.
I think they're probably one of the best options that are available right now. It's a better job than USC.
They're always some type of scandal sniffing around there at LSU.
Wait. Let me get your answer to this. Is it more likely that Lincoln Riley goes to LSU or Florida? If he were to leave, let's just preface it with let's just say he is leaving OU. Would he be more likely to go to LSU or Florida?
The NFL.
All right. That's a fair answer, yeah. But LSU or Florida.
Here's the thing. Oklahoma is a top five job in college football. You don't leave a top five job in college football to go to a top 15 job. No, you get fired from them. Exactly. You don't leave that to go to a Florida, which is top 15 program all time. LSU is probably top 10, but OU is the top five all time program in college football. You don't leave that type of situation unless you're pushed out because you have, you know, three losing seasons in a row, two losing seasons in a row. And that hasn't happened yet for Lincoln Riley. So,
yeah, to be fair, I don't think he is leaving. I just like to jump on that horse.
I heard from an anonymous source that he has COVID.
Oh,
and that's why he didn't attend the thing. And that's also why a little sneak peek into my picks. I might have picked that game this week. Might be on full force on the field, except coaching staff.
Ooh, so maybe this is a letdown game for OU instead of a pick me up game and a get up game. But Jake, speaking of picks, Preston and I both took Oklahoma State this weekend. You guys pulled through. What did you think of your guys' game?
I mean, it's great to get a win on the road in Morgantown. It's kind of a, you know, I wouldn't say an insane environment, but it's a tough environment to kind of play in. I always like West Virginia. I think the camaraderie is great. The respect goes both ways from Oklahoma State and West Virginia. I like their fans and everything. But as for the game, you know, I think we dominated that game. I mean, really, it was just the first drive that they got the field goal on. And after that, I mean, I don't know what happened to Seth Dagey. I mean, there was dudes wide open running downfield and he just froze up. And, you know, I think the pressure kind of got to him and we started kind of rolling. And, you know, honestly, we shot ourselves in the foot a lot. And, you know, even though the score was 24-3, that I think that could have been even worse. I think we dominated the game to where we could have won that game easily by 40. And, you know, just a lot of things that we need to improve on the offense. Defense played out of its mind again. And
yeah, I just pulled it up right here and it was tweeted out by, you know, Adam Lund. I don't know. He screenshotted the as of games through November 6th. So this past weekend or November 7th. Oklahoma State was number three in total defense behind Georgia at two and Wisconsin at number one. I mean, that's pretty legit. And when's the last time you remember seeing Oklahoma State have a defense like that? And Preston, speak on that too, I guess, because Big 12 is just not known for big defenses like that outside of Texas. And Oklahoma State has one of the best defenses in the country. Jake, you can go first.
Oh, I thought you said Preston go first.
Yeah, I want to hear his thoughts too.
but I mean, this arguably this is the greatest defense we've ever had. If not, then it's number two, which I think they said Mike Gundy was like a sophomore in high school in like the somewhere in like the early 80s, 70s, somewhere in there. We had a crazy defense one of those years. But other than that, like our defense has never even scraped into this kind of territory. I mean, really, you know, if you go back and look at all those things, like 2011, we had a good defense, 13, we had a good defense. But really, those defenses were predicated on turnovers, of that we led the nation in turnovers. And therefore, it kind of stat padded us in the sense of it made our defense look a little better than they really were. Where this defense is not the case, where those three and outs and third down defense and everything is just making us, you know, propelling us into that top five, which is just kind of a crazy, weird area that, yeah, you know, we've only been twice in history, you know, so.
It is crazy. I mean, Preston, what do you think of it? Because now it's a big deal for OU. It's a big deal for the rest of the Big 12 schedule on Oklahoma State's list. And OU, you guys are going to be facing them when they're probably at their peak, honestly. And they're going to, if they can go into there without another loss, it's going to be a huge game. Defensively, I think, Jake, I think you're going to be able to just sit there and trust your defense every time they step on the field. But Preston, I mean, what do you think of that just this year? But like in the terms of the Big Ten historic defenses, like, what do you think, Preston?
Yeah, I mean, look, from 2000 to 2008, the Big 12 was probably top two conference in the whole entire country when it came to just football, period. And it was more of a defensive league back then anyways. Mike Leach and Art Briles kind of ruined the Big 12 when it comes to defenses with those offenses that they trotted out on the field from, 08 to whenever the hell Art Briles got kicked out of the Big 12. But it's switched. Like the Big 12, if I'm trying to think of how I want to word this, basically the last 2 years, the Big 12 has been more defensive based than offensive, really. You haven't had like the prolific like quarterbacks that you've had in the Big 12 in recent years, other than, since Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, OSU, what is this? Steelers, Mason Rudolph,
Patrick Mahomes.
Like, you haven't had those in the last, 2-3 years.
Yeah.
In the Big 12. So it's been more defensive based. I think personally, I think that's why you see kind of the change that OSU has made. Their defenses is a lot better. They're relying on that. OU's been trying to get their defense to be a lot better. Baylor's defense is decent. Obviously you have Iowa State. The Big 12 has what, 2 of the top 5 defenses in the country? Cause I think OSU is 3 and Iowa State's 4. Yeah. Is that right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So defense Iowa State was 4. I totally looked over that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the narrative is changing, and the people that say that the Big 12 is just this, offensive juggernaut of a conference don't watch the Big 12 football every week.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. It's been clearly noticed. I started watching Big 12 football probably 6 years ago, more so than I did in my younger years, because I've lived here in Big 12 country basically the last 6 years. And so I've watched a lot more, and I have noticed that. It was when I first got here and started really watching it, it was heavy offense. That was early Baker days. That was heading into the Kyler Murray days. And then now, obviously, Spencer Rattler and Caleb Williams here at OU, I'm talking about. But all across, you named it, Mason Rudolph, Will Greer, all those guys, Patrick Mahomes. Those were the big offenses. And now it is a top tier defense. And I did look over that Iowa State being number 4. I went right down 1, 2, 3, saw it, and then just stopped. I just canceled out the rest of the thing. But basically what I wanted to ask you guys now and head into is another Bedlam preview type talk is, Preston, are you worried about this defense? And Jake, is this the defense that you can trust? Do you feel like you can trust, obviously pending any injuries going into Bedlam, do you feel like you can trust them when they step on that field against OU?
I mean, when you look at this game, go ahead, Jake.
Oh, you said the I word, and that's just not acceptable this year. That's a tough thing to hear. I mean, honestly, when you say trust in Bedlam, there just is no trust in Bedlam. I mean, the thing is it's a huge rivalry game for us. We struggled, and nationally, I think with our defense and everything, we're getting a lot of hype of, a lot of people are calling us super underrated, which I mean, I do believe we are underrated. I mean, us to be 11th with the schedule that we played, I get that we have the one loss to Iowa State, but that we lost by a field goal, and there's a lot of weird things that happened. Officiating was bad. So it's kind of a toss game up in a hostile environment. And with our wins against Baylor and everything, and the way their schedule's looking, just, I think 11th's kind of disrespect, but I get it nationally because of our defense. I think
you guys are probably going to move up. The Wake just fell out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And definitely be top 10. Lost.
Yeah. You'd think so. I mean, the thing is, we're just in a tough spot. Cause there's not a lot. We would basically have to, OU would have to win out. We'd have to win Bedlam again. Cause now with Baylor having that loss, what would really hurt us is that Baylor wins, and then Baylor wins out, and then we win out, and then we play Baylor in the Big 12 championship.
You would like that?
Well, I mean, I think that would hurt us. I think if OU gets there,
I see what you're saying.
OU will be ranked higher just because they have OU on their helmet. But
OU DNA, speaking of, I want to talk about that.
Yeah, and so it's one of those things.
Mike down.
I think we're in a good position. I've had great feelings before, like that Mason Rudolph 2016. I I thought we should have won that bet. I mean, there's a bunch of bedlams that we easily could have won and we just choked away. So it's tough to say.
I want to get into something I just remembered it in my notes. And then Jake, when you prompted OU DNA in my brain, Preston, I have a question and I want you to speak for all of OU Nation, Boomer Sooner crowd. When Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray or Jalen Hurts goes into Sunday and has a big game, OU fans always tweet out OU DNA, OU DNA. Is it OU DNA when they do shitty any other Sunday? Like when they have a shitty game, is that also OU DNA?
No, we don't claim that. Only good games.
I didn't think so. I did not think so.
Yeah. Crazy?
Yeah, I did not think so. But I saw that. I saw someone tweet out OU DNA and I just wanted to be like, now do the one for when they had shit games, you know, like pull up, like now do this one. But let's move in. Anything else you guys want to recap from this past weekend before I'm probably missing a couple things, but I do want to talk about one fucking thing. And it's if you're, and I hope neither of you are, but if you're someone that is not happy with how that Texas coach handled himself, and you think Jake, did you know what I'm talking about on the bus? Did you see that?
The D-line coach. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're someone that is like upset about that or, oh, they shouldn't be talked to that way, they're just kids. Well, no, I mean, they're 18 or older. And guess what? I was 18 and I got yelled at 10 million times harder than that for fucking 8 straight weeks, just in basic training alone. And so they can fucking relax with that. If they can't handle that, they should get into the transfer portal. He's fucking right 100%. I love how he did that. I actually think that is good for Texas. They're going to get some guys that are going to go in there. I saw someone say, it seems like this coach hates losing more than he loves winning. That's what Texas is missing. They're missing players that hate losing. They have players that are absolutely fine with losing. I don't think that's the case in many other schools. I think OU, you guys have players that hate losing. I do believe that. It's a part of the culture. It's not that you want to win. You just do not want to fucking lose. And they don't have that culture down there. And I really, I loved seeing that coach bring that energy. Keep it up. I'm not going to do it. I was about to do something, but I can't do it. I can't do that. Hat tip to that coach, because I fucking respect it. If you're someone that is soft, thinking that it's fucking, don't yell at kids, blah, blah, blah. Nah, fuck off, basically.
No, yeah. If you've never been like yelled at like that by like a coach or someone like that, then you've either never played competitive sports in your whole entire life, or you've just literally been sheltered by your parents. Yeah, nothing. Which Texas never wins anyways, but...
I respect that coach is doing that, because like you want guys that want to fucking win. You want guys that don't want to fucking lose. That's the whole point. Yeah. I think that's the coach's whole point. Maybe not like word for word, but like the energy he's bringing is, I don't want to fucking lose anymore. Like I'm fucking
no. And I think the main issue everyone's had with this so far has been like the student athlete that recorded it and posted it.
I did see a lot, but there was some people that were like, oh, they're just kids, blah, blah, blah.
They're not kids. They're grown men. They're over 18.
Yeah. Like the coach shouldn't be using that kind of words, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, those are 18-year-olds that signed up to go there for these coaches to fucking coach them. And he's coaching them hard.
Yeah. No,
it's not fucking soccer.
I mean, dude, if he didn't have those kids, we would get those great fucking gyms like fucking Coach O saying Roll Tide, what, fuck you. You know, those great things. I mean, you think that speech was bad, dude? Go back and look at Mike Leach when they lost to Baylor, the post game. He was being straight up filmed, remember?
You know,
where he was like, oh, just because we were fucking 11-1 last year, you guys think all the, you know, like he just goes on and on about it. But it's just like, I mean, dude, it's a serious thing. And football is one of those sports, you know, I think from a coaching standpoint, like there's violent sports and football and hockey, and there's some violent sports out there where if you're not doing to the best of your potential, you have a serious injury. Like you can be injured. What I'm trying to say, the risk is so high.
It's a high energy sport. It's high skill level sport, and you can't bring it. You have to bring in that high energy like that. It's a tough sport to play. You got to be tough to play it.
You bring up Leach. reminded me of, I don't know if you guys remember the Texas baseball coach, Augie Garrido, and his locker room speech to his team one time.
I don't know if I recall.
Basically telling the team, fuck you, about 80 times in 1 minute, and that they all sucked. So I looked that up. It was a very good, humbling speech, if you
will. I loved it. Anyway, good. I wanted to get that in because we did have a quick chat about it before pre-show.
One last thing, too, about Joey McGuire being hired Texas Tech's head coach from Baylor, and the shocking news that just got reported, too, that Baylor basically said, what did he say? His quote was magical. It was like, don't forget to say your goodbyes and get the hell out of here. Like, he's gone. like instantly, no, yeah, they were like, you're good and get out. Like,
no, he's already reported to Tech. He said he's going to die at Texas Tech. So,
yeah, I saw that. He's like, I coached in five places, fucking X, yeah. Y, Z. And he's like, I'll die here. You need someone that wants to be in Lubbock.
Yeah, yeah, no, I mean, that was a wild story. And another thing, though, that kind of hurts about the picks, though, coming up.
Yeah, let's get right into week 11 picks. Isn't it crazy we're in week fucking 11?
Yeah.
Where did the season go? But I will say this, it's been so glad having it be basically a normal season. I think this weekend is the first, actually this did you guys see it? Cal USC, that's the first game this season to be canceled due to COVID. So that's pretty cool that we made it to heading into week 11. So
one round quick of applause. Before we get to the picks, I have a little plug, if you will. High school football playoffs coming up here in the state of Oklahoma. If you're a veteran, active duty member, whatnot, you can get into any OSSA football game for free this Friday. Just bring your military ID, your ID that says you were in the military, yada, yada, yada. You can bring you and one other person. Get out and go watch some good high school football here in the state of Oklahoma. Basically, if you're in the Metro, there's a ton of games going on in the Metro, obviously in Tulsa, because that's basically where the good football is played in the state of Oklahoma, is in Tulsa. So yeah, get out and go watch some high school football. Should be a good Friday night.
What game are you calling?
I will be at Bethany for Blanchard versus Bethany. Should be one of the more entertaining games in 4A this week. Probably going to be one of the toughest matchups in 4A. So we will see. Should be a good game, though, out in Bethany.
Awesome. Yeah. Go do that if you have no plans for this coming Friday night, and go support your local high school football team or whatever. Or maybe it's not local, but whatever one you want to go to, go do that. Week 11 picks. Let's get right into it. Preston, Jake, either of you want to go first? I think I've gone first the last couple of weeks. Do either of you want to kick us off?
I can.
By the way, real quick too.
We are going to be officially doing nasty jelly beans. I have a pack of these Harry Potter jelly beans. There's like fucking worm, ringworm in there. There's puke. There's booger. So Jake, fucking get your taste buds ready, because you're probably gonna be on the chopping block, buddy. Let's get into week 11 picks. So Preston, hit us up.
I am officially the over club this week. Basically, because I didn't like any of the games going on this week, so I just said, fuck it, I'll pick a bunch of overs. The first one I have is Cincy versus South Florida, the over 58 in that one. I think the line was Cincy minus like 23 or something like that. So I think that Cincy should be able to put up at least, 50 points themselves in that one. The other one I have is Bama versus New Mexico State. That's an easy one. 67 is the over on that.
I'll take that. Just 51.5 Bama.
Yeah. I'll take that just for Bama to get 67. And then I am staying in the Big 12, going down to Waco, Texas. And I'm taking the over 63 in that OU versus Baylor game. I think that's
how many of those have hit for you. You've taken quite a few OU overs.
Well, no, I've taken OU, the spread in those, and I failed miserably on all those, but the overs for the OU games tend to hit for me. So I'm thinking that the six over 63 in that one should be able to hit. I think some points are going to be scored down there in Waco.
So you had, can you run through it real quick? Just a boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, Cincy versus South Florida over 58, OU versus Baylor over 63, and Bama versus New Mexico State over 67.
Sounds good. Jake, you look like you were fucking chomping at your fucking chops right there too, ready to talk about that Baylor OU game. What's your fucking deal, you jitterbug?
I'm wanting pure chaos this week. I'm like the little kid in Talladega. I just want anarchy to happen. Like I'm taking crazy everything. All my picks just look insane on paper. So I'm taking Pittsburgh -6.5 against North Carolina, which is a wild pick. That's my Friday night game, or it's Thursday or Friday. And then college game day is Texas A&M, Ole Miss. Super tough game to call. This could go either way. But I'll take Texas A&M -2.5. I think Texas A&M has been playing a little bit better. And then OU Baylor it's a tough one. I'm going to take Baylor +5.5.
Well, that just made me feel a lot better about this weekend. Thank you, Jake.
Yeah, you are very welcome. Well, also, it's one of those things of like, you know, I could play Baylor in the Big 12 title or I could play OU in the Big 12 title. And I think we have a better chance of winning against Baylor instead of playing Bedlam back to back. So it works out that way. And then if it is OU, then we get a better win coming in. So, you know, it's kind of a win-win situation for us. But Baylor, I think this is the toughest game OU's played in this season so far. You have to play a tough game on the road, you know, so.
Thankfully, we'll 11 a.m. though. So thankfully it's at 11 a.m. and not at night.
Yeah, if it was 7, yeah. 7 would have been rough in Waco, but 11 a.m.
If you're going down to Waco this weekend, fly some birds for me. Fuck Baylor fans.
And Preston, if you think you feel better about the game this weekend because of Jake's picks, you better wait and fucking hear what my picks are because I feel great about them. I am also taking two of Jake's games, but I'm on the other side, buddy. I got Ole Miss +2.5 against Texas A&M. I think Texas A&M, they are this weird team. Like they play good. Obviously they beat Bama and then they play bad. I think this is a week where like everyone is thinking like Texas A&M is going to have a big win. They need a bit. The whole SEC would probably want a big win for Texas A&M because it makes Bama look better. I think this is a letdown game for Bama. I think Ole Miss is going to cover that 2.5. I actually think they could win this money line, but I don't know if I'm going to take that. I'm definitely not taking it for the show. And then the second game, I feel great about that too. I'm right there with you, Preston. I was actually serious when I'm saying, like, I think this is a big game spot for OU. I think it actually has to be. And so I'm taking OU -5.5. I think I actually would almost even like them at like 9.5. I do think they're going to win by double digits. But then again, if they lose, it's like, great. I love that. So that's an awesome thing. Jake, thank you for taking the picks you did. How many weeks has it been that you've gone like winless? Like, cause there's been a couple.
How many winless weeks have I had?
Yeah. There's been, we've done 10 weeks of picks. How many winless ones have you had?
One. Hold on. Let me say 1, 2. I've only had 2 weeks of winless.
Oh, okay. I thought way more than that, but let's say
no, I get both I of go, those, I go 1 and 2. Why clockwork?
I want your 2 to be my 2 wins. And then my final game, I don't want to do it, but it's like, it's a pick'em game on the spread. There's no spread to it. It is the Penn State Michigan game. I think it's I think it's a letdown. I think Penn State is out. They're just done. And I think this is a huge game. Michigan needs it. If they don't win it, they are actually done. And probably the rest of the Big Ten in terms of competitiveness, I think it actually hurts Ohio State as well. So I'm actually taking Michigan to win this Penn State game. They're on the road though, so this is going to be tough. Michigan is going to be on the road, but it's a pick 'em game. If it was +4 Penn State, +7 Penn State, I would take that. But since it's basically a no spread, I'm taking Michigan to win that game. So those are my 3.
About Ole Miss. That one as well.
What's that?
I said I thought about picking that one as well.
Yeah, and you know, I almost wanted to take the under for that too, because I really don't think Penn State is going to be able to score, and I think they'll be able to hold Michigan just enough. I think it's going to be a low scoring game, but Michigan pulls it off. So yeah, Michigan to win, Ole Miss +2.5, and OU -5.5. I don't know what the spread was for Ohio State, but I think it was like 20 against Purdue. I'm not sure if I like that. I think they're going to be right around there, probably like 17.
Is that at Purdue?
Yeah, I think it is. So that's going to be – It's tough.
Scary spot.
It is a scary spot.
What was the TCU? OSU TCU, was it 13?
Let's see. I'm looking for that right now.
By the way, if you're an OSU fan, okay, yeah, so 13. So yeah, so I mean, it's 7 o'clock under the lights and Boone Pickens. If you're an OSU fan and you're listening, make sure you wear black. It's blackout. So
are they? They're unveiling the statue, right?
Yeah, yeah. So Barry Sanders will have a statue, and he'll be on the Ring of Honor next to Thurman up in Boone Pickens. So
that only awesome. Took 40 years, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
took you gotta a while, earn your respect from Oklahoma there. State. You gotta earn your respect. Speaking of earning respect, Oklahoma, and that Purdue game is at Ohio State. It's at the Shoe in Columbus, okay. So a little bit easier, but still a tough game. I think it is an interesting spot for Ohio State, but I think like OU, it's a game where you need to have a big show out. I think they're finally clicking. They have to click, and so we'll see. But that was Week 11 picks. Real quick, there's about 4 minutes left, 3.5 minutes left before we get into our NFL, NBA, all that other talk to wrap up the show. But what did you guys think? I mean, holy fuck, the NCAA is stupid, right? I mean, they're just the worst organization ever, right? Jake,
Can you agree more?
About what topic?
Oklahoma State basketball.
Everything?
Oh, yeah, no. Everything. Yeah, but everything, yeah, no. I think it's definitely very stupid to be penalizing kids who were in seventh grade when all that stuff happened, especially when the head coach that it happened under isn't even there anymore.
They self-reported, they punished the guy.
Yeah. $300. I thought it was 30, but either way, $300. I mean, come on. What does that get you nowadays?
It'd be one thing if it was 300,000. $300.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're talking about fucking couple also, t-shirts and a hoodie.
You have to understand too of what this, like, it's like the NIL thing. It's like driving down the street, getting a speeding ticket, and then the next week they raise the speed limit above what you were speeding. It's like going 50 in a 45, and then they raise the speed limit to 55 the next week, and then you still have to pay that speeding ticket, and you're like, what the hell? Because the NIL, that $300, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, Jeffrey Carroll took $300 a long time ago. We self-reported it. He sat out for 3 games. He repaid it back. We did everything, crossed every T, dotted every I. I mean, we have a different head coach, different athletic director. Everything about it. Even Chad said in the interview of like, hey, look, this is what we did. This is what happened. Like, what did we do wrong? Therefore, we know what we did wrong and we can do right in the future. And the NCAA basically said, no comment. Like there's nothing you could have done. I mean, because basically what the NCAA is saying is that the only fault that OSU had was that we hired him. Like that's basically all that happened. That failure, there was no, because everything that they did, there's no failure monitor. The head coach didn't do anything wrong. We didn't play an eligible player. All of the major, you know, infractions, we didn't do any of them. And I think the worst part about it all is just the inconsistency of it all, of that, like, it would be okay. I would accept the ban if, you know, South Carolina got banned and Auburn got banned and Arizona got banned. But none of
Kansas, Kentucky, LSU. I mean,
yeah, Duke. We're as of today, we are the only team in college basketball to have been punished. And you
probably will be for at least the next 5 years. There's not going to have anything's going to happen soon with any of those teams. Nothing.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. And the thing is it's the length of this that has gone on. It happened in 16, 17. We got the thing. And then in the morning, you know, it was February, and then they held the decision up a week before the season started. So it's just,
yeah, but it's stupid. The NCAA sucks. Let's just give a wrap up the college football talk and college talk segment with a fuck you NCAA double birds. And we're going to talk NFL, NBA here right now. Let's get right into some NFL, NBA, everything else type of talk. Real quick, Preston, did you watch the show, last week's show? Because as the viewers know, all the, what did I have it? Rabid Rabbit Hole Dedicated Listener Club listeners, all you guys, if you know, you know. Preston wasn't here for the second half show, which no worries. But did you listen to it?
I listened to like half of the last part. I didn't get to all of it now.
Did you hear?
I was listening to see if there was any jabs thrown at me, and I ended up not finishing it. So,
oh no, I wasn't even that. I don't even think we did take any jabs. We don't take jabs. We don't do that. I think Jake called me out without, I didn't have you there to back me up, but Jake called me out for throwing jabs at him when he wasn't on the show. But we don't do that around here. It's the trust tree circle.
Slander on a certain player that I like.
No. I was actually talking about like everything I had talked about personally on the show. I gave a little, it's not a tease. I kind of like, I had to talk about some things with Jake. I had to talk about things. I don't even know if I want to bring it up again because I'm not ready to announce it, but.
Oh, you're not going to announce it this week?
I don't think I'm announcing it this week. I think I'm going to announce it. I have to do my due diligence, but I am, and Jay or Preston, I want your opinion because I want everyone's, when you listen, listeners, Rabbit Hole, dedicated listeners clubs, I need you guys to comment on the fucking Twitter, tweet at me or on the comment section below. Let me know what you think, but I'm contemplating canceling my fandom of one team and subscribing somewhere else. And that's as far as I can go.
Okay.
That's as far as I can go. But what do you think of that?
I think there's a couple of rules when it comes to switching fandoms of teams. A, has there been a big scandal with said team owner? You know, whatever it might be, whoever runs it, has there been a big scandal with them? How long has the team been shit and how long have they disregarded the team being shit? And then, basically I think that's just it. Like if the owner sucks ass and the team is shit for multiple stretches of years there, that or there's a huge scandal involving ownership and ownership does not sell or anything like that. I think those are a couple of
rules. So you think there are valid reasons that someone, a person or persons, so to speak, could jump from one team to another or transfer them, put themselves in the transfer portal, if you will. You think it's possible?
Yeah. Now, if the team you're transferring to is the best team in the league, then I would say, no, you got to stick with the shitty team because I think that's just called a bandwagoning around here. And we don't like bandwagoners around here.
Gotcha.
You know what? I broke it down a little different. I broke it down into, I separated amateur sports and professional sports. I think in professional sports, because you don't have those same ties, it's a little different. Like college, I'm full blown like Kirk Cousins. If I die, I die. But when you go into the professional things, I mean, things can change. You know, like I said, you know, if you were living in St. Louis and the Rams just picked up and leave, like, what are you supposed to do? You know, cheer for a team that's left you, you know, like it's, you know, so.
No, yeah. And it's one of those things like bring up Baylor just because it's an easy one. You know, if you have a huge scandal like that, go down there at a school like that and leadership from top to bottom does absolutely nothing to do anything about it. I think that's a fair point. Even, you know, if you graduated, which most fans of Baylor graduated from Baylor, I'm assuming, because they have been shit like forever, basically.
NCAA still has not punished them. So yeah. Moral of the story, they don't pay someone $300.
Yeah. And they won't, but you can, you know, no, I won't get into it because I could
yeah, go for a while. Yeah, we'll get into it.
If stuff like that happens, I think that is a good point to be like, all right, I'm burning all the Baylor gear I have, putting all that stuff, you know, taking the degree off the wall, put it underneath in the desk somewhere that you don't want to show that type of stuff, just because that's like the level of like badness, if you will. I know that's not really the best word to use, but it's just not, that stuff's not good.
Yeah.
That or if you have like a Washington football team type scenario where the owner every couple of months is something different comes out about the owner being just a total piece of shit and he refuses to sell. All he does is relinquish ownership to his wife, which, you know, he's behind the scenes telling her this is what we need to do. Do this, do that to run the football team. I think then that's also like a good you know, point to jump off the team.
Yeah. So if you're listening and you just heard Preston's pretty much layout of some guidelines as to how to put yourself in the fandom transfer portal, I also want some of your inputs and what you think should be on that guideline. So if you're listening, if you've gotten this far, if you're watching and listening, please let us know, put it in the comments or tweet us at the Bakers here at Press Pool 405 or at Jake Cart, specifically me, because it's actually regarding me. I'm potentially going into, I'm like, I feel like Spencer Rattler right now about to head in the transfer portal. Like, where do I go? But I already have that in mind, just like he probably does. So let's get into the NFL because he's probably not going to the NFL. That fucking referee in the Pittsburgh Steelers game on Monday Night Football, that hip check Cassius Marsh, I mean, should be fucking executed at, on center field in the Super Bowl, right?
No, I mean, that the even the taunting rule in the NFL, it's the NFL with their rules, which the taunting rule, I think, is probably going to change at the end of the season. Just like that pass interference review rule that they used for 1 year and that changed 100%. After that. It's just the NFL tries to think of ways to make it less fun. The most enjoyable sport in the whole entire country, they try to make it less fun every single year. Players can't wear whatever cleats they want to wear. They can't have, you know, artists make cleats for good causes or anything like that. They have to wear, you know, team issued cleats with team colors. And it's just stupid. It's Roger Goodell is an asshole. And he knows he is, but he knows he can get away with doing basically just anything because the NFL is the biggest cash cow in America when it comes to sports. They can basically do whatever they want. So,
and I mean, they do whatever they want and they never pay. They never had to, like, any repercussions that you think should happen will never happen. They just, they're their own entity. Literally.
And I don't care what you say. If you say, oh, I'm going to stop watching the NFL because it's too political or see this, shut the hell up. You're not. Everyone is going to sit down on a Sunday and watch NFL. You're going to pull up your, you know, whatever app you use when you're playing fantasy football.
You're going to bitch about it while you do it.
Exactly. That's all that's going to happen. So shut the hell up. Sit down, enjoy some football like the rest of us and bitch about the refs and Roger Goodell. And get over yourselves.
And speaking about enjoying football, I did not enjoy watching that Browns Bengals game because I had money on the Bengals heavy. I had prop bets with players and I was on them heavy. And like I needed two things to fucking happen and they didn't. And, but the Browns, I mean, week one without OBJ and Baker has like a fucking stellar performance, which that's what prompted the OU DNA question earlier, is because Baker had a stellar performance and OU DNA, blah, blah, blah. But the Browns actually fucking looked for real. I mean, I don't know. Now we got a question just like Jake and I did privately last week. We questioned the Chargers. We got to question the Brown or the Bengals. Are the Bengals and the Chargers both frauds? I mean, is that something that's going on, Preston? Jake, thoughts?
Well, Chargers bounced back against Philly and Philly got a win. Finally had a field goal kicker. But yeah, no, the Chargers last, 2 weeks before that was a little rough, but
that's why you left early. That's why you left early. Got it.
There's always a new week. But no, I think with the Browns, it's just, it's crazy what happens when you get a locker room cancer out of your locker room. And the team starts playing better, and now they have Chubb and another one of their backup running backs out Kareem with Hunt. COVID. Kareem Hunt is hurt on the IR right now, but he's eligible to be activated this week. But Chubb and I think D'Ernest Johnson just got hit with positive COVID test today, I believe, or yesterday. So the hits keep coming for the Cleveland Browns. But I think that with the Bengals, you have Joe Burrow, you have Ja'Marr Chase, and I think that was just a big spot for the Browns when it came down to it. I think that was a game for the Browns that they kind of needed to win to keep their season on the rails.
Yeah.
And really the Bengals have been over exceeding all the expectations. So that's one of the things that I think.
And I think it's one of the things as well where teams are like the top threat is Burrow to Chase. That's what you have to worry about every time. Joe Mixon is performing great as well. He's turned out to be a really great back for them up there, but Burrow to Chase is the threat. And so if they can shut that down, they can figure the other stuff out. You know, they just had to figure out shutting Burrow to Chase down. That's what they did. And the Browns did. I fucking, was stumbling right there because I'm on track to talk about the other stuff because I'm already fast forward. I'm done with the Browns.
The Browns are gonna brown.
But Jake, I know we want to get to you because you guys had a big game up there. I don't know if it was up there. It was down there.
I want to say something about OBJ first because OBJ. All right.
And then go into the Broncos.
He went to the Lions. So it's like he went from one sadness factory to another.
No. OBJ did not. That was Josh Rosen.
Oh, Josh Rosen. Did he go to the Lions?
OBJ hasn't signed.
Oh, okay. Maybe it was just memes that I saw or something like that. But
most definitely.
Yeah, that was something of like nightmare scenarios or something. But it was crazy. But speaking of what the point of that was frauds, is the Dallas Cowboys. Is that thank God you're welcome, America, that you don't have to hear Cowboys welcome to fans.
The Giants. Thank you.
You know, you saying did what we that, couldn't. You know, the cat, you know, it's just that thing of where the Cowboys win five or six games and then everybody says, oh, they're going to the Super Bowl, and then they get brought back to reality.
Yeah. Wait till November and December hit, and then it just completely crumbles beneath them as usual.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Giants actually did win against the Raiders. So shout out them. I had a parlay going, three-team parlay. It was dog parlay. It was Giants, Falcons, and Texans. Texans could not fucking pull it off. The Dolphins were trying to lose. Every time I updated my score app, the Dolphins were giving the ball over to the Texans with like, it was like 2 minutes left, and the Texans had three different possessions on offense. Under 2 minutes in the fourth quarter. And I was like, how do you not score? It was 17-9. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? They were the only team that didn't win on that parlay. But another fucking team that was crazy to lose is the Bills and the way they lost. If you would have told me that the Bills were going to lose, you know, 47-43 or whatever, a high scoring game, I would have probably believed you. But for the Jags to keep Josh Allen without scoring a touchdown at all was crazy. And so I don't
know. Josh Allen did play good though Sunday. Josh Allen
did actually score two touchdowns or whatever it was, or have an interception. Josh Allen did play great. You're right. Josh Allen beat Josh Allen. Jake, that probably broke your brain. But the Jags.
That's just one of the craziest like stories ever. Josh Allen sacks Josh Allen. Josh Allen intercepts Josh Allen. Josh Allen. Allen. Yeah. And I was just like, God,
it was the first time. Well, obviously all those other stats, but it was the first time a player on defense tackled the quarterback with the same name, just tackled.
Yeah.
Not even all the other stuff, just tackled.
And what was even crazier is that it's been an opportunity to happen two other times in the NFL. I would have never thought that would have been like a thing that happens, like that has a possibility of happening.
Me either. But that actually brings me, I mean, continuing on the Bills and keeping it up in the East, or actually, I guess it would be the AFC. Yeah, the AFC East. The fucking Patriots are still in it now because now they're only half a game back from the Bills. And I hate that. They just went 1 year without fucking Tom Brady. And they're like, all right, let's just get back to it with another fucking. It's like you took it out of the clone machine. Tom Brady's younger version, his clone. And then just what happened is Mac Jones, Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger combined, like cloned up or something or what, but whatever. New England's in it. They're always going to be in it. Dolphins. They're, I don't know. They got the win, but they suck. Texans trash. Ravens, Vikings. Ravens always find a way to win at the end of it when they're close. And the Vikings always find a way to fucking lose. I'm trying to think of some other ones. Saints, they're frauds. The real deals. Cardinals are the real deal. I know they have a loss on their belt, under their belt, but the Cardinals are the real deal.
Impressive game for them with Hopkins and Murray out. And
yeah, they still that shows the rest of the team.
Yeah.
I mean, it was huge. I didn't actually get to watch the Chargers game. I see here they only won by three. Was it a dominant game by them and they just lost it in the end? Or what was the deal with that one?
I would be lying to you if I said I got to watch any of it. I had to go to work during it. I watched the final probably 2-3 minutes, them kicking a field goal to win that one. But I mean, Herbert, a bounce back game for him. He had three total touchdowns. Defense not good again. So I think it's just one of those games where they needed a bounce back win and they got it.
And the last two teams I want to talk about is the Packers and the Titans. I mean, the Packers, they obviously were down Aaron Rodgers due to COVID. We're not going to get into that, but they were down to Aaron Rodgers. It was a huge game for Jordan Love. I think it showed a lot and it forces the Packers into a tough situation being like, fuck, Aaron Rodgers is the answer.
What scumbags in Kansas City making his mother sit all the way at the very last row of the whole entire stadium? scumbag people in Kansas City when it comes to the Chiefs. Absolute scum of the earth. Terrible people.
You heard it here. You heard it here. And I don't disagree. I actually fully agree. Fuck you, Kansas City. That was rude. Jordan Love's parents don't deserve that. He's a first rounder, future Hall of Famer, probably. Packers, you're welcome.
Yeah, we have Jackson Mahomes on the sidelines doing his little weird TikTok dances. And Jordan's mom has to sit up in the corner by the trash can.
He sucks. And then the Titans, they lose fucking. He got injured in less than a week later. If I've already forgotten his name,
Derrick Henry, and they pick up some OU DNA and Adrian Peterson.
Yep.
If you call him AP, go to hell. It's AD all day, Adrian Peterson. So.
Yeah, and he had a touchdown. I don't know how many rushing yards he had, but to have a touchdown in your game, that was huge. I think he's like number six all time for touchdowns. Not six all time for touchdowns, but he's like six on something in terms of numbers, stats. He has got a lot of touchdowns.
Might be rushing yards.
He's at 190. Yeah, it might be something like that. But a lot. So, and he's like, what, 36 or whatever he is?
Yeah, he's up there.
He's old. He's up there. And so that's huge. But the Titans are legit. I mean, or are the Rams just frauds themselves? But I don't think the Rams are frauds. I think they just have bad game. So it's really the Cardinals. I think the Packers with Aaron Rodgers are still one of the top teams. And if they get OBJ, that really just, even though he is a cancer in the locker room, so to speak, I do think that he can bring talent. And if he feels like he actually does have a chance, I feel like he's going to be able to perform, and it's another way for him to he can show out the last bit of this season and then get a big contract from someone going into next year. And then probably maybe repeat a similar tenure, like with the Browns. And
I think you're a nut if you're a nut if you give OBJ a big contract after this year, because
I agree.
He's just going to pull the same shit he did in Cleveland and basically say, cut me and I'm out of here. I'm going to go somewhere else.
So. I am going to have I do like the Bills this weekend, though. I think a bounce back game is going to be huge for them. They're playing the Jets. I think that's a big bounce back game for them. They got to fucking show out and just be like, hey, we are the real deal. We had a bad week, but we're the real deal, and show out against the Jets, have big numbers. Josh Allen, 300 yards, 50 yard rushing and 3 touchdowns. I'm calling it here. And then throw Stephon Diggs on there. I'm going to probably do a parlay with Stephon Diggs getting 2 touchdowns and 100 yards. But let's see, Carolina Panthers against Arizona Cardinals. Cards probably wash them. Sam Darnold is a fraud. I'm going to say it. He's a fraud. And then what else is there? NBA, Preston, you want to talk some NBA?
I'm sitting here watching a little college basketball, and I just wanted to say how terrible it is that Coach K thinks that he needs to go around the whole entire country for a whole entire year, parading himself around just because he's retiring, when he's been washed for a couple of years now.
And he's he's no different than that ref that hip check Cassius Marsh. He's making it all about him, and it's not.
Yeah, no one cares about you. Get out of here. You should have been done probably 3 years ago. Also, I just don't like Duke basketball. So
I agree. I'm right there with you. Go Cuse. It's awesome that college basketball is back. I don't know if there's any big games. I don't know if there's any big tournaments. Jake, you're probably not even watching anymore.
Michigan State, Kansas going on right now. Duke plays, I think.
You guys are lucky. I chose to do this instead of go to the game. We are actually playing right now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We are blessed to have you. We are blessed to have you, Jake. Your presence is welcoming.
Say that, and Porter Moser's tenure now as the OU basketball coach starts tonight as well. So I think really the two schools in the state have some of the best basketball coaches in the country. I really like Boynton. Obviously you have to love what Moser's done at, you know, Loyola Chicago. And hopefully he can replicate that in Norman as well.
I agree with everything you just said. And I actually, Jake, this is something I want to mention earlier. I think that whole situation with the NCAA, it hurts you. You're not going to be in the playoffs or lose some scholarships. But in like a culture perspective, I think you guys gained so many points that so many players are going to want to come play for Coach Boynton up there in Stillwater. Yeah. And you guys, he's going to be able to recruit players that maybe he didn't even think he had a shot, but now they see what he did for that. He stands up for his players. I think a lot of guys are going to want to come play for him. Maybe not every top 5 star. That's of course the case.
I mean,
I think you guys have a good chance to be down the line. He's there for a long time now. He's solidify himself as someone that Oklahoma State wants to be in cahoots with, rightfully so. I think down the line, you guys are going to have great, great recruiting classes going forward for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. I think it's reminiscent of I'm a man, I'm 40 kind of thing of it gave so much national spotlight and a lot of things. And, you know, at the end of the day, just great things came out of it, of that we consistently have always gotten better since that moment. So I hope it happens the same for Boynton. Boynton was the lowest paid coach in the Big 12 his first tenure. So, you know, the thing was, is every decision that we've made with Boynton and everything has just paid off tremendously well. I think also, like what Preston was saying, with OU's coach, you know, he did great things at Loyola Chicago, and I think OU will be back. How long they stay in the Big 12 is still kind of up in the air, which I heard interesting news today that, I guess it's always been there, but I didn't realize, but OU would still have to pay a buyout to get out of, even after 2025, they still have to pay the penalty to get out of the Big 12. So at the end of the day, something like I heard them negotiating like $80 million. But so the thing is with OU is what my understanding with the grant of rights is to 2025. And so basically OU, if they left next year, your grant of rights would go to 2025 and you'd have to pay $80 million on top of that, as you know, penalty and all this stuff like that. And the thing is up until 2025, you wouldn't make any money to that point. So not only would you pay $80 million, but also you have no revenue until 2025 or after that season. So, you know, I think the people saying that OU's leaving next year, it's tough to say.
I honestly got lost on the business side of stuff. I get lost on this shit.
Well, from what I understand, which I is not much, once they pay that buyout with the Big 12, they're free and clear from the Big 12. They would just have to pay the, you know, $80 million, whatever it is, to the Big 12. And then that would break their grant of rights contract with the Big 12. And they would be in the SEC and making money from the SEC. Because if it was one of those things where they do that and they're not making money in the SEC, I think you would 100% have something saying that, hey, we're staying until 2025, when it's really just kind of been beating around the bush. Like, yeah, we plan on staying until 2025. Which I personally think they're going to have one lame duck year, which will be next year in the Big 12. And after that, they're bolting to the SEC. But the interesting thing with that is the Big 12 hasn't released their schedule for next year when it comes to football. So it's an interesting thing because you have, you know, Houston, BYU, Cincinnati, coming in, and they haven't released a football schedule yet. A weird deal.
Also, I think some of those schools have bought out, and then some of those schools are still waiting to buy out, is kind of my understanding of that. It's the not, you know, they haven't signed.
Obviously BYU is in next year anyways, because they don't have to do any of that
stuff. Yeah, BYU is the one that they're scot-free. They don't have to do anything else. With OU, though, that my understanding, too, is that, I guess it all comes down to negotiations. Because as of right now, you have 27 months to punch your clock to get out. And they have not done that yet. So,
well, you know, that was to announce that you're planning on leaving, and then you have to wait that period until you can leave, which would be what, sometime during the season. That is what they had to do, and then they had to be accepted by the SEC, which is that happened. You know, that was like that crazy like 2 week span, and what was it, July, that everyone was like, "What the hell is going on?" It's just one of those things. It's a very big confusion that not really anyone knows what's going to happen, except for maybe like Joe Castiglione and Chris Del Conte down there in Austin.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on, to be honest. I know like you guys are going to Big 12, but I'll just wait until I see the schedules and be like, all right, they're playing SEC schedule. But other than that, I don't know. And I truly don't care. Like, the money wise, it doesn't even impact me whatsoever. So I just stay away from that. Real quick, let everyone know where they can follow you. Let them know what your week 11 picks are. And then we're going to close out the show. Preston, go first, Jake next, and then I'll wrap it up.
Yeah, at PrestonPool405 on Twitter. I'm usually very active on there every day. So you can follow me there, interact with me, whatever. Unless you have shitty takes, and I probably won't tweet you back. So I'm just messing. I love to talk on the Twitter sphere. But anyways, my picks this week, I'm 15 and 17 going into this week. Overs club, if you will, for me, Cincy versus South Florida over 58. Bama versus New Mexico State over 67, and then OU versus Baylor over 63 in that one. Hoping for a good weekend this week to get back on track.
Jake.
I got, this is the anarchy week Cart. For me. At Jake Cart. Follow me on Twitter. I tweet more now.
Yes, he does. I'm
a little bit more love active. It. And the crazy thing is what drives me insane about the whole Twitter thing, dude, is I always feel like I post some gold and then 10 minutes later, somebody else ripped me off. I posted that Brian Bosworth NCAA shirt like 3 days before freaking like Barstool and everybody else started posting it. And I was like, dang,
oh, really? Put it, like, screenshot it and then fucking tell them that. Like, credit.
yeah. But, anyway, so it's anarchy week for me. I got Texas A&M game day -2.5 versus Ole Miss. I got Pittsburgh -6.5 versus North Carolina. And then I got taking the Baylor Bears +5.5 against OU.
I'm pretty much against Jake. I'm taking Ole Miss +2.5.
At Vegas here?
Yeah, at the Vegas here. Damn. Wow.
Way to call you me did out, it to me. Jake, I did it to you, fuck. Dude. Yeah.
Damn.
Hey, that was I pulled the Uno reverse card on you.
Yeah, that was real quick. That was like beep beep. Yeah, so at the Big is here. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, whatever, pretty much Twitter. Yeah, I'm taking basically everything against Jake. Ole Miss. Oh, another fact about Ole Miss +2.5 is they're undefeated at home this season, and this game is at home against Texas A&M. If it was on the road, I probably would not take it at Kyle Field. OU -5.5 against Baylor. I just, like I said earlier, I feel like that's a big get up game for OU. And then a pick 'em game. There's no spread. Taking Michigan at Penn State. If they lose, they lose. Great. And if they win, then that fucking helps my record. So Ole Miss +2.5, OU -5.5, and Michigan. That is my picks for week 11. That is week 10 recap show. We are Rabid Rabbit Hole Sports. Peace.